Well, I want to talk today and ask you to, you know, a parable like this, it rocks our world. You might as well admit it. It rocks our world. You know, that claim at the end, hey man, you know, these guys only worked an hour and we worked all day in the heat of the day and they get the same pay as we do. Now, come on, you're indignant and you know it. You are indignant with them, aren't you? A parable like this rocks our world, and that's his purpose. The Lord wants to kind of shake us up a little bit and say, you know, I don't always just work on your agenda, and I don't always think like you think. You heard the reading, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So if high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. And I'm going to return to this idea of the, quote, unfair pay at the end of the homily. But I want to set the stage for it by, again, reminding you how this kind of a parable really rocks our world and shows us that very often the kingdom of God is paradoxical and is at odds with the ways of the world. And the other thing I want to do, and this is the title I'm giving the message, and we'll return to the, I'll explain it at the end of the sermon, but the title is your discipleship delightful or dreary? Is your discipleship delightful or dreary? And I'll explain. But before we get there, there's a few teachings on discipleship that we can learn from in this kind of a parable. And the first thing I want you to notice is the availability of discipleship. It says here at the beginning of the gospel that a landowner went out at dawn to hire laborers to work in his field. And he went out later and found others standing by, idle, and then again and again he went, and he kept saying to them, why do you stand here all day idle? Why do you stand here all day idle? Now, but notice these are day laborers, and you know, that's a tough way to live, you know, to be a day laborer. You don't always know if you're going to eat. You're not always sure if you're going to get paid. It's a tough and difficult way. But you know, that very difficulty is what makes them available. They get up early in the morning and they go out there and they stand there and they are available. They are available. Now, you know the old song, but I'm going to quote it anyway. It simply says, Lord, I'm available to you. But listen to the next line. My storage is empty, and I'm available to you. Now, young people, I'm just going to say, I don't think you all, I'm going to just kind of guess that you all don't do like some of us used to do when I was your age. But we didn't have video games, and we didn't have computers, and we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that stuff when I was your age. And you know what we used to do when we... In the summertime or in the evenings, we'd go out and we would say, it was an expression, we're going to go out and play. We would go out and play. And that meant you'd do things like you'd go ride your bike or we used to build tree forts and sometimes we'd go over to a friend's house and play some sports, you know. But we were very physical because there wasn't much to do inside, you know. So you pretty much just, you know, you went outside and played. But let me just tell you, what do you think was one of the first things that I knew it was time to go home? Huh? Well, maybe when it started to get dark. But you know, I'm going to tell you, something brought me home usually before dark. I'm going to give you a little hint. My storage went empty. And that has a way of bringing you home, all right? Mom, is dinner ready? Okay, got it? Now, it's sometimes in our neediness, in our struggle, when we're empty, we're anxious, we need something from God. It might not just be food, but it just might be some struggle we're going through. You know, maybe it shouldn't be this way, but that's one of the ways God keeps our attention. No, and so there are these men who don't have regular work, and they're standing there, and in their neediness, they're available. In their neediness, They run to the landowner. Another old song, you know it well, from Mahalia Jackson, just says, simply says, "Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb it. Don't take away my stumbling block, but lead me all around it." And she tells the reason why in the verse. She says, "The way is not easy, but you never said it would be. But Lord, if our way gets a little too easy, we tend to stray from thee." Come on, church, it's just admit it. If you don't have some struggles, if you don't have some empty storage, chances are you're not going to pray as much. Chances are you're not going to be as available to God. Why are these men available? They're needy. It is their need that makes them available. And maybe the Lord shouldn't have to let it be that way, but come on, you have to admit it, and so do I. It's often my neediness that keeps me focused on God. Are you praying with me? So the first thing you notice then about discipleship is that there's an availability. And it's very often this availability that's rooted in our need that God gets our attention. And then he has something for us to do because he does have a vineyard and he does have a work for us to do. Are you praying with me now? All right. Now, let's move on. Not just the availability of discipleship, but I want you to notice there's an authority of discipleship. It says here, "The landowner said, 'Go into my vineyard.' He sent them into his vineyard." Look around. It all belongs to God. Take a good look at your own body. Just look at your arm or whatever's nearby at hand. Just that belongs to God too. The pews you're sitting on, the road you drove on, the trees, all of creation, it all belongs to God. It's his vineyard, his vineyard. It is his vineyard. The landowner calls the shots. Now, this is very important because you see, a lot of us go off doing stuff that we got no business doing. We walk on into the vineyard and we do our own thing. Now, in real life, if you walked into someone else's vineyard and started picking grapes, pretty soon that little blinking light's going to be outside and the police officers are going to come on in and escort you out, right? The Lord's a lot more patient than that, but you know, a lot of us go on doing things without the Lord's real authority and approval. And I mean really big things. Sometimes folks go off and get married without ever asking God. "Lord, is this the person you want me to marry?" Sometimes folks take promotions or they start biggie wow projects and they never ask God. And then, sure enough, it doesn't go too well. And someone says, "I'm down here working real hard, trying to do all this stuff, and you're not helping me." And God said, "I never asked you to do it in the first place. I had that for somebody else." So just be careful. Pray a lot. I know you can't always hear a voice out of the sky saying, "Yes, do it," or "No," but do some discerning. Do some praying. Try to square what you're doing with God's word. God owns this vineyard, and he has authority. And so we, first of all, you know, there's an old saying in the book of Psalms, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor build in vain." Don't go off into the Lord's vineyard until he, by his authority, says, "Yes, go. You go into my vineyard. You go into my vineyard." All right, so we see, therefore, there's an availability of discipleship. "Lord, I'm available. Use me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. I need you, Lord, and I want to be part of your kingdom." Okay, so there's the availability. Then there's the authority. We wait for the Lord to answer. He gives us a task, and he sends us in. It isn't that he just simply sends us in, but he may have something particular for you and for me to do. Some of us he gives a task to preach, others to raise children, others to you know, have other types of jobs and other aspects that are all needed in God's community. God has a work for you, but listen to him. Now, young people, as you start to begin to develop, The temptation is for you just to say, how can I earn the most money? And I'll train to do that. But if money is your only goal, you might not be in God's will. Maybe God has a gift that he's given you and he wants you to do something a little different. It might not earn you as much money, but it's what God wants for you. And the object of life is not money. The object of life is to love God and to become the man or the woman he's created you to be. Hey, see? Be very careful. Learn to listen to God. And one of the ways you listen is saying, what are some of the gifts he's given me? What are some of the talents I have? And what are some of the talents I don't have? There are just some things that I'm not called to do. Somebody else is, but not me. So learn to listen and listen to learn. God has authority in this vineyard. If we get out of his will, don't expect a lot of blessings. God may sometimes forgive some of our stupid decisions. But again, if we get out of his will and don't learn to listen and listen to learn, we shouldn't expect a lot of blessings. All right, so we see there's the availability of discipleship and there's the authority of discipleship. Now we also next see that there's a kind of allotment of discipleship. It says the vineyard owner came first at dawn and he hired some, and then he came back at 9, and then at noon, and then at 3, and then at 5. Why? I don't know. That's the biblical answer. I don't know. Why didn't he get them all in the morning? I don't know. Now, some of you have what we call cradle Catholics. You know, you were taken out of the cradle and brought to the baptismal font. Amen. Some of y'all were baptized and brought into the church as infants, right? I want to just say I was called early. I was baptized the very day I was born. Baptized early. I wasn't supposed to make it, but here I am. All right. Now, others came into the church or came into the kingdom later. Some just recently, maybe a year or two ago. Why is this? I don't know. God knows what he's doing. God just knows, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. There just comes a moment when God makes the call. Now, it isn't just about the time of day, though, that you come into the kingdom, but some of us have taken up some of the tasks we're doing later in life. A lot of priests today, for example, had something they were doing before they became a priest. I was working for the Army Corps of Engineers. I didn't just go right out of college and into the seminary. And one of my good priest friends was a dentist. Another one was a lawyer. So sometimes we get called a little bit later in life to this kind of work. And some of you all became parents maybe not at age 21 or 22. It was a little bit later, huh? But the Lord will call at different times. Now, remember Moses? Moses said at age 40, I've come to save my people. Uh-oh. Moses had a biggie wow plan, didn't he? Moses had an idea, but he didn't ask God. So Moses immediately got into trouble at age 40. He ends up murdering a man, has to run for his life. God said, you're too proud. I can't use you yet. I want you to lead my people out, but not yet. Off to the desert. And get married and raise some kids. Now there's humble pie for you, all right? The desert, one thing, but raising a family, now that's humble pie. And so, you know, God called Moses at age 80. He's leaning on a stick. He stutters when he talks. He's an old man now. God says, you're finally weak enough so I can use you. Now, all of us would think, man, use him in his prime when he's 40 and he can stand before Pharaoh and say, thus saith the Lord. God said, nah, he's too proud, I can't use him. So Moses at age 80 goes, thus saith the Lord. He stuttered. He had to get Aaron to speak for him. It's not our way of thinking, is it? It breaks our world. Young, sleek, strong, but too proud. Old, weak, but humble. Now I can use you, says the Lord. So I don't know when God will call you. Sometimes we think we're ready for things and we're not quite ready for them yet. So learn again. We got to listen. God has a plan. There's another old gospel song that says, God is preparing me for something I can't handle right now. He's preparing me, he's pruning me, he's tuning me, he's getting me ready for something I can't do now. So just keep your eyes open for what God might call you to do. Sometimes later in life than you wanted, sometimes earlier in life than you wanted. Sometimes God says, you don't feel ready, but I want you to know I don't always call the qualified, I qualified the called. But just stay open to God. He'll call. Just when you know he's calling, go. Are you praying? Okay, so we see now the availability of discipleship, the authority of discipleship, the allotment of discipleship. And this one is important as well, the abiding of discipleship. Now, take these guys, they go into the vineyard, and you know, we talk up today about payday, but they got paid every day at the end of the day. Now, let's say you go into the vineyard. Now, you get paid at 6 p.m. What if you go into the vineyard and walk on out at 3? I know it may sound like an obvious answer, but are you going to get paid? Not going to get paid. You got to stay till 6 p.m. You got to stay till evening. Now, you see, the Lord says, whoever perseveres to the end will be saved. Someone says, well, I answered the altar call. I done did that. That's behind you. The question is, where are you going to be at 6 p.m.? At 6 p.m. in your life, are you still going to be serving God in His kingdom, or are you going to be off doing your own thing? Because you're going to miss payday. Some folks say, well, I got baptized. I answered the altar call. My mother went there. In other words, that church. None of that is going to matter at all unless you're there at 6 p.m. Okay, are you praying? You got to persevere. You got to abide in your discipleship. You can't just do half the job and walk away. You got to stay all the way up to payday. And so I don't want to develop that much more except simply to say to you that an awful lot of folks are talking about what they used to done did, how they used to go to church, how they, you know, and they think that's going to somehow work it for them on the day of judgment. Whoever perseveres to the end will be saved. To the end. To the end. Now then, the final aspect I want to talk about of this parable is what I began with. The attitude of our discipleship. The attitude. There's two problems that are mentioned here at the end. Remember, at the end, they're all paid. They started out with the ones who came on last, and they got a full day's pay for only 1 hour worth of work. And the others think, oh man, we're going to get even more now. They got the same amount. Some only work 1 hour. Some worked like almost 12 hours. They came on at dawn, and now it's 6 p.m. It's a long time to work. And they're getting the same pay as somebody who worked 1 hour. Is that fair? That's not fair, is it? Okay. It's not fair. That rocks our world. But pay attention. What I'm about to tell you is very important. Don't you ever, ever ask God to be fair. Because if He's fair, you are going right to hell. They think I said a bad word. Listen, you're not going to come out on the right side of the fairness equation. I'm going to just say to you, if you want God to be fair, I'm going to just quote from an old TV show back when I was some of your all's age. Danger, Will Robinson! Danger, Will Robinson! Any of you remember that? Danger, Will Robinson! The older ones, do not do that. What you need is not fairness. What I need is not fairness. What I need is grace and mercy. Grace and mercy are going to have to see you through, because if it's about fairness, you can't make it. You will not stand before God in any justice except Jesus. And that only comes to you from grace and mercy. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Only grace and mercy. You and I need it in abundance. So the first thing that's wrong in terms of this attitude of discipleship is that somehow I'm earning my way. I'm going to earn my way into the kingdom. And by gosh, fair is fair. No, you just said the wrong word. Because all of us have done that attitude thing at God. And that's a damnable sin. And so you see, don't do that. Not fairness, grace and mercy. And you know, when you see God show mercy to somebody who you don't think deserves it, you ought to rejoice. Now maybe I stand a chance. Amen? If you see God show somebody mercy, just say, oh, thank you. Maybe I stand a chance too. If you see God show mercy to your worst enemy, say, oh, phew, at least I stand a chance too. Okay? So that's the first attitude issue. The second attitude issue, again, is this, I'm going to go back to the title. How do you see your discipleship? As dreary or delightful? Listen to how these guys complain. We had to be out here all day in this darn field and bore the heat of the day's burdens. Is that how you see your discipleship? I know some of you do. You know, there's this attitude, if we're not careful, that sinners have all the fun. And we have to be the goody-choo-choos and follow the rules and live chastely and drink moderately and pay our tithes. It's just awful and dreary being a Christian. And the sinners are out having all the fun. Now, be careful. Because, you know, you can start having that attitude without even thinking about it. It's just there. Now, I'm gonna say something. Sin does have its pleasures. And they tend to be kind of instant pleasures. But that's why it's tempting, right? It's tempting to sin because there are pleasures associated. But then comes the bill. And I'm not just talking about your credit card. I'm talking about stuff like sexually transmitted diseases. I'm talking about stuff like, being overweight and all the other stuff that comes with that. I'm talking about being addicted. I'm talking about cirrhosis of the liver. I'm talking about a lot of bills. Sinners do not have all the fun, is the point. I hope you listen to me, young people. You know, you can think, hey, man, I'm going to just do my thing and kind of goof off and play around. I'm telling you, there is a bill coming due. This world will put you in bondage and send you the bill. Only God can really give you true happiness, lasting happiness, and real freedom. Only God can do that. Sinners do not have all the fun. Now that is sinners have all the fun is a lie, and we need to renounce that lie right now. Sinners do not have all the fun. Saints do. I'm going to just say, and I'm going to be a witness now, that I'm glad the Lord called me early. And, you know, knowing what's good for me, and I haven't done it perfectly. I'm a sinner like all y'all, and we're all there. But generally speaking, my parents, I think, raised me to try to make good choices. And I'm going to tell you, I'm awful glad that by God's grace, I've been able to make some good choices. They weren't always the easy choice in the moment, but they were the best choice, so that I'm not struggling with a lot of things that some others are, that get too involved in sin. So be very careful. I hope you don't see your discipleship as dreary and burdensome, but rather as delightful. There's a beautiful line that comes up every year in the Easter Vigil. It's at the end of the book of the prophet Baruch, and it says, "Happy are we, O Israel, because what pleases God is known to us. Happy are we, O Israel, because what pleases God is known to us." And you know, what pleases God is what really brings happiness. Not that instant happiness of yielding to sin, but that lasting happiness that comes from holiness. And so, just a few thoughts today on discipleship. We looked at the availability of discipleship that often comes from our neediness. We looked again at the authority of discipleship. The Lord is he owns the vineyard, and he's going to say what needs to be done. And then there's a kind of an allotment that he calls us all at different times and to do different things at different times. And he gets us ready, and when we're ready, he calls us. And then there's the abiding that's necessary. We've got to stay in the vineyard and keep working up until payday, so to speak. And then finally, the attitude of discipleship, which is, thank you, Lord. You called me. I'm happy to serve. I love you. You're great and you're good to me. Oh, Lord, I'm available to you. My storage is empty, but I'm available to you. And I thank you, Lord. And I want to just say thank you, Lord, because your grace and mercy brought me through. Your grace and mercy. This alone I depend on. Thank you for making me a disciple, for putting me to work in the vineyard. I say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.